From the Johnson Space Center in Clear Lake to the Air Force Space Surveillance System Master Transmitter near Olney. If it's above, on, or below Texas, it's on. Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your mission director, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, another example of how, for the left, the rule, that includes the press, the rules never matter except when it's in their favor. Texas Attorney General Paxton obtains a big win in federal court over actions of Pelosi's U.S. House. The Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safe workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. The turtle, Mitch McConnell, says he will step down as Senate Republican leader in November. He's the longest serving in history. Cornyn of Texas, the other swamp swimmer, has already said he wants the job. This ought to be interesting. Primary campaign news from around the state, including more illegal electioneering by Texas public school officials and much other news of Texas. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Fighting off the ravages of a cold, I guess, that hit Isabel, had it for a week or so, and then looks like it hit me last night late, and so not comfortable and a little bit difficult to speak today, but hopefully you can't even tell the difference if I didn't tell you. I'm just not all there with the cold. The big wildfires in the panhandle of Texas are just huge. You've probably seen media coverage. There's a lot of it out today. The big fire, 800 square miles, making it the I think that's the Smokehouse Creek Fire, makes it the second largest wildfire in area in the state's history. And, you know, this is terrible stuff. People's homes are threatened, ranches and things, although it's actually very good for the prairie grass on ranches to have these fires. The big fires. I mean, Amarillo just surrounded from east to west and north. So basically, you go north of I-40 to the east, to the west, and then in an arc around Amarillo, you've just got a lot of fires. The East Amarillo Complex fire was the largest one in history. That was just back in 2006. This one is really big. It began Monday in Hutchinson County. We told you about that. Spread through Hutchinson, Roberts, and Hempel counties. For those of you who weren't on the high ground, the high plains of North America, the wind was blowing massively strong. They had 40-mile-an-hour winds in Amarillo, and that's why I mentioned yesterday all the dirt. It was one of those South Plains days where the sky is just brown. I mean, it's just nasty out there, and the big weather change came. It's not just the Smokehouse Creek Fire. You got the Grapevine Creek Fire that's more than 30,000 acres. It's 60% contained as of this morning. Governor activated the Emergency Management Division to bring additional state resources in to the area. Now, yesterday, there's just nothing you could do. I mean, and you had a lot of big, the Pantex plant northeast of Amarillo, they evacuated just for safety, non-essential staff last night, Tuesday night. Now, today, they were back at full, regular, normal day shift operations. If you don't know what Pantex is, that's where we disassemble and assemble our nuclear weapons. So it's a big deal. Senator Kevin Sparks told the AP that Canadian was actually evacuated, or evacuation order had been was given for Canadian. And the Hempel County Sheriff's Office told people in Canadian to shelter in place at the high school, or because all the roads were closed. And in French, right up there in Lake Meredith in Hutchinson County, they were told to leave. That's scary. I've been in these situations before. Everything South Highway 146 in French, evacuate now, city officials said on Facebook. Had more up in the Great Plains. In Nebraska, a mower sparked a prairie fire that burned a huge swath of Nebraska, about the size of Omaha, the state's largest city. So be careful. Don't burn Texas down. Hopefully, there is a chance of far more moisture in the air and maybe rain in the panhandle on Thursday, tomorrow. And let's hope that happens. Just high temperatures, a lot of fuel out there, which is good. It means the grass has been growing. So it's just the way it works. And ultimately, you hate the loss of property, and you sure hope for no loss of life. But frankly, burning these prairies is a very good thing to do ecologically. I mean, a ranch would much rather manage it one area by one area and not be wiped out. I'm not minimizing the financial hardships and things, but it's natural. These are the way the things were. And you talk about, well, it's the biggest global warming. Excuse me. People haven't even been on the high plains in any significant numbers for about 120 years. I mean, these fires, the grass used to be all the way up to the middle of a horse. And it was a sea of grass on the Llano Estacado. And when this stuff caught on fire from lightning or anything else, it just burned it all, and it was good for the land. I mean, it burned millions and millions and millions of square miles. Just don't get caught up in the hyperbole from the left out there that you see so predominant in our media. Other headlines around the state: security guards fired after leaving gun on desk and in bathroom at Fort Bend ISD schools. Fort Bend hired, I guess, completely incompetent people and two different contracted guards. Of course, the Chronicle's blaming this because the legislature passed the law, they got to have guards, which, of course, I thought that's what y'all were all for, school safety. I don't know why these people, I know other people that have done this, I don't know why you take the firearm out of its holster. And anyway, they've been fired. Terrible's in an elementary school. It's very dangerous. A Bull Verde man suing USAA over alleged fraud involving $30,000 stolen out of his bank account, 77 years old. This is just big story in the Express News, and it's just a continuation of the ongoing stories that show USAA in a really negative light. I know the Dallas Morning News has had many of these, and it's their behavior with supposed customers that are also beloved. This guy's a Vietnam vet, and they had a big data breach. He claims the data breach led to 30 grand of his money being taken out, and they say, nope, didn't affect you. Who knows? They're all smacking their gums about Major League Baseball expansion. ESPN said that Austin and San Antonio, maybe together, is one area's top of the list. Others list other areas top of the list. They're going to expand to 32 teams in a few years, and there's big discussions on that. Well, as soon as you do that, take away all the fun. The minor league games are just so much more fun and affordable for families. Central Texas Aerospace Company, that would be Firefly, expanding to prepare for its new space age out of Briggs, Texas, near Austin. KXAN said more rockets will be built in the Austin area. Firefly is unveiling today its newest rocket ranch facility. Expanded facility allow the company to produce and assemble new rockets as well as test engines with up to 230,000 pounds of thrust. A new 100-foot test stand's part of the deal. And they've got access to new automated fiber placement machine, which will help them build rocket components at a faster rate, and a new robotic power mill. They're really investing big there at Firefly. Bob Zimmerman, behind the black.com, has an update on the Starship Super Heavy preparations at Boca Chica. After two separate but aborted dress rehearsal countdowns, rocket's been destacked with Super Heavy rolled back to the assembly building. And that's ship 28, built, as a test ship. And they're saying a March flight launch of Starship still possible. Of course, we don't have FAA approval. They dragged their feet, but who knows? Probably technical issues that needed addressing. But that's what it's all about. They're innovating. But we'll see. It is looking more like a March launch is possible, is threatened. That's how Bob puts it at behindtheblack.com. And also, former Waller County District Attorney investigator found guilty of drug trafficking and money laundering. Back in a moment.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Front on Texas, we'll be right back after this.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch Magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
Over the past decade, dozens of Proud on Texas listeners have become part of a unique family of Dr. Silvia Zuniga's dental practice in Costa Rica. Many have returned, taking friends and family. The high level of personal service given our listeners by Dr. Zuniga is amazing. From your initial no-cost, no-obligation inquiry, you'll be talking directly to Dr. Zuniga to determine your needs and answer questions. That direct contact never ends. It's as if you were among the super wealthy with your own specialist on call. Click the Dental Care banner at proudontexas.com to get started.
He's a bullfrog with a bullhorn, and he's not afraid to use it. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to this last day of February. Nope, it's not, because tomorrow is Leap Day, my friends. You get a 29th day in February tomorrow. Mitch McConnell, the turtle, says he's going to step down as Republican leader in November. The chief swamp swimmer from Kentucky says he will serve out his Senate term, which ends in 2027. And so he's stepping down. That's the big national political news. He's the longest serving party leader in the Senate in American history. He's been there way, way too long. He has contributed to a sclerosis of the Senate. He... stepping down, first thing I thought of is, well, here we go. John Cornyn, who really needs to be retired by voters, needed to be retired by voters in the last election. He's basically turned his back on most all of us, and he is nothing but all about Washington, D.C., and being there and being the big player. And all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people will be all excited because he wants the job. He said he wanted the job back in an event in Texas. He said, but should he decide to step down, no longer serve as leader, I've made it no secret I'd like to succeed him. If there's an opportunity to do that, I'd like to do that, said Cornyn, who was first elected to the Senate in 2002. He's been reelected in 08, 14, and again in 2020. You know, in Texas, his approval is in the red, with 39% of respondents disapproving of his job in the Senate compared to just 34% who do approve. But consider all the money folks will jump right on this because they'd love to have the leader be from Texas. So all of a sudden they'll rush to John Cornyn's aid, even though he has proven to have basically become nothing but a swamp swimmer who just happens to be from Texas. We'll see if he can get the role. I think he's awfully... I don't know. I just think that he is so... I mean, the way it works there, it seemed to work for McConnell being a turtle, you know, and being so non-dynamic and everything. But I don't know, there are forces present that would like to see some change, not just in the people, but the style and what we actually go about. See how it works out. John Cornyn could end up being the Senate leader. Today in Texas history, the siege of the Alamo was ongoing. Don't forget it. And Saturday is the date we declared Texas independence, March 2nd, Texas Independence Day. Make sure you fly your flag. Our look at today in Texas history, sponsored by Hub City Title, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. They have in-house title examiners. Learn more at hubcitytitle.com. In 1845, on the 28th of February, the U.S. Congress passed the bill that authorized the United States to annex the Republic of Texas. On March 1st, U.S. President John Tyler signed the bill. In 1993, the idiot feds under Clinton went in and raided David Koresh in Waco and set up all that death and destruction and the standoff, which all they were doing was serving a warrant. They could have served him, as the local sheriff pointed out, any time he was driving his old Camaro into town. But no, they wanted to show their power, flex their power, which we see this now in our local police departments constantly with deployments of SWAT teams and things in situations that are very questionable. Anson Mills names El Paso 165 years ago today, 28 February 1859. He submitted a street map of a settlement at the far western tip of Texas. It was called all kinds of things: Ponce's Rancho, Franklin, which there's a lot of history of that there, and Smithville. He called it El Paso, which makes sense because in Mexico it was the pass. That was the pass through the mountains, El Paso, the pass to go up on north up toward on the Camino Real up to Santa Fe. And the downtown there is beautiful, and it still is. He platted it. He was from Indiana, flunked out of West Point, came out and rode the Butterfield Overland Mail stage to El Paso, and was then district surveyor and surveyed Forts Kipman, Davis, Stockton, and Bliss. Fort Bliss, the giant facility still there. Built the Overland Building for 3 decades. It was the largest structure there. And then the Mills Building, which is a major landmark in El Paso. He was best remembered as the boundary commissioner who refused to accept the 1911 arbitration agreement that gave the disputed Chamazal tract to Mexico. He died in 1924. Anson Mills, really a big figure in the history of Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to Hub City Title for helping us take a look at today in Texas history. My Lone Star story of the day is probably one of the shorter stories in the stack, but it's important because it's another example of how the left demonstrate. You know, they'll often scream about Constitution, the right to vote, franchise, all these things. They'll scream about it, but of course, anyone who's paid much of any attention in their life, and sadly, I'm finding that that's fewer and fewer people, even people who claim to follow politics, more cynicism here. They don't notice that the left screams that only when it's in their favor and then just argues against following the rule of law to achieve their ends when the rules don't work out in their favor. Attorney General Ken Paxton got a big win that was announced yesterday evening in federal court. And it's an ongoing, lawsuit we've had in place from back in 2022. I think this was one in the U.S. District Court in Lubbock. The Constitution, this was a defending the Constitution against Pelosi and the Democrats. Court ruled that the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending package was unlawfully passed by the U.S. House in 2022 under Pelosi, because there was no quorum physically present as required in the Constitution. The court enjoined the defendants, the U.S. Attorney General, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, and their officials from enforcing a provision of the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023 against the state of Texas that was proved to impose unjust cost burdens on the state. The quorum clause of the U.S. Constitution mandates that the chambers of Congress must have a majority of members physically present to constitute a quorum before most official business may be conducted. But back then, fewer than half the House of Reps were physically present because they were all, Pelosi, all afraid of COVID, and they did all their proxy voting. And Biden signed the illegally passed law. So Texas and Paxton sued. And we've won this at the first court level. And it's very, and Texas Public Policy Foundation was co-counsel with the state on this. It was a 120-page opinion, meticulous opinion, written after the full trial on the merits of the case. And again, I believe that took place in a federal court in the Northern District of Texas, Lubbock branch. It does matter because the media didn't care. Oh, the law doesn't matter. The actual expressed law of the Constitution didn't matter. Oh, no, we can pass anything. Oh, no, it's extreme circumstances. We'll do some. No, that's wrong. But how is this victory? It was all over the national media last night, particularly conservative media. How was this victory, the few places in Texas media that was even mentioned today, how was it played? Here's the headline in the left-wing propaganda outlet, the Texas Tribune. Federal judge rules against pregnant workers in win for Paxton. First of all, it's not a win for Paxton, it's a win for the state of Texas. That's it. Federal judge rules against pregnant workers in win for Paxton. Subhead, Attorney General Paxton sued the Biden administration over a pregnant worker protection law that he said was unconstitutional because it passed mostly by proxy vote, which is stupid grammar there too. Matthew Choi at the Texas Tribune, shame on you, passed mostly by proxy vote. Now, the point was there was no quorum present. But of course, this is how the saving of our Constitution and protecting us all, left and right, from an overreaching Congress is portrayed in the press, that he ruled against, Paxton went after pregnant workers. And that's you can say it's shallowness, to some degree it is, but it's really not. It's the full-out effort, ladies and gentlemen, to aid in the destruction of the country. For the left, there can be no solid rules, no constitution, because sometimes that gets in the way of their leftist march to take away our freedom and their ongoing Marxist revolution.
It's the talk of Texas. Proud on Texas.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Costa Rica is a world center for dentistry, and while there are many large clinics catering to Canadians, Americans, and Europeans with good prices, they still have the push-em-through maximize cash flow model. That's not what you'll find with our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga. With Dr. Zuniga, you'll be the patient, the center of attention for your entire stay, beginning from airport arrival until you leave for home. It's a level of care, a family in a sense, few've ever experienced. Click the Dental Care banner at PrattonTexas.com to learn more.
Do you have a commercial property for sale or lease? Tired of a for sale sign gathering dirt, storm, dust in front of your place with no activity and no prospects? Office, retail, restaurant, or industrial? Call me, Carl Tepper, a commercial agent with Exit Realty of Lubbock. I'm low on inventory because I've sold and leased everything. I'll get your property sold too. Call me, Carl Tepper, at 806-470-2354 for a no obligation appointment. That's 806-470-2354.
Pratt believes the best way to ensure limited government is to limit the number of libs and rhinos who get elected to office. Don't worry, he'll tell you who they are. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We'll move right into our campaign stack, but first, do not miss 33 AD, the new original drama by Chip Polk. Glenn and Chip Polk present this original drama at their famous Ragtown Gospel Theater. It's the 2024 season opener, their 18th season. You need to visit ragtown.com for all the details. Every show is 3 p.m. on Saturday. First show's this Saturday, Texas Independence Day, March 2nd. And 33 AD runs only through the 20th of April. They've got 17 years of loyal customers that come in and fill this theater up. So get your group scheduled. Get your tickets done. Very inexpensive and a great time for all. Get to ragtown.com for detail and reservations. The purpose-built Ragtown Theater is, well, it'll surprise you. It's right there at Post, Texas, on the edge of the Caprock, where the Great Plains falls into the Rolling Plains. And it is Branson level quality, and you're going to enjoy it. And we plan to be there on opening day. I wouldn't say night because it's at 3 o'clock. Opening day, 33 AD, this Saturday. Hope you'll join us. Ragtown.com. Go listen to that full interview, the podcast extra I did with Chip Polk. It's fascinating about how the Ragtown Gospel Theater came to be. All right, my friends. Justin Holland is a state rep that a lot of people have turned against. He's a Republican, sort of, that people want out. And I mean, you've got big, he's just one of the guys that's done very poorly and needs to be unelected. Liberal outlets like the editorial board at the Dallas Morning News, they like Justin Holland. I mean, that's, you know, and have in the past and all that. Holland is not good, just there to the east of Dallas and northeast, I think it is, House District 33. A big piece out by Patrick Hoff in the Dallas Express today. Holland allegedly attempted to sell a family's property at a $1.2 million discount to his former colleague who donated to his campaign, according to documents. Holland of Rockwall was appointed receiver for the property of a deceased woman in Rockwall in December 2021. This meant he was in charge of issuing the sale of the property for the woman's children. He allegedly cut a deal within 2 weeks of his appointment to sell a four-acre property to his former colleague for $750,000, which the family said was a $1.2 million discount on the real estate listing. Family alleged in legal complaints that Holland refused to communicate with them as he structured a quick deal for the property with his buddy. This included claims Justin Holland did not get an appraisal for the property, put up a for sale sign or listed on multiple listing services. And however, he allegedly put up a political sign on the land. Holland was, this isn't last minute election stuff. They fought this then. Holland was later removed as the receiver of the property. And Chris Burks told the Dallas Express, it cost my family about $45,000 in attorney's fees just to remove Justin Holland and stop the sales. He attempted to sell the property for that big deal at the family's expense to Brian Berry, a former mayor and city council member in the city of Heath, where Holland was also on. They were on the city council at the same time and both worked for MedTech Construction. Berry, as mayor, honored Holland with a plaque when the latter left the city council to campaign for the Texas House. Berry's donated over $11,000 to Holland's races back in the past. I don't even know what this year's are. And he tried to do an insider deal. Sounds a lot like the stuff we've read about Senator Zaffarini out of Laredo over the years. Pretty nasty. There was a good piece yesterday, and here's a kind of a summary of it from the Texas Scorecard. Vegas goes big for Dade Phelan. They're spending big. Chief among the out-of-state interlopers is Las Vegas Sands, giving through its Texas Sands Pack. Largest beneficiary of the money to get gambling, you know, casinos everywhere is, in the latest filing, is Dade Phelan. They gave him $200,000 in this last filing period. So we know where Phelan is. They've given significant cash to John Kemple, Lacey Hull, Richard Hayes, Hugh Shine, Steve Allison, Justin Holland, and Charlie Guerin, all of which are Republicans that pretty much need to be unelected. Democrats getting casino cash were Harold Dutton and Ron Reynolds. Governor Abbott visited Abilene to endorse Liz Case and for House District 71, K-Texas. Only media property I noticed that did any real coverage of this giant thing. And, that, of course, they went and talked to people who are supporting Lambert there and questioning the governor's motives. Why is Betty Davis said, why is he going around the state supporting every single person voted against the vouchers? Because that's the issue, Betty. Wake up! Wake up, Betty! Betty Davis, not the old film star. Where have you been? That's the issue. The governor made it clear, if you're not going to support freedom for families to not have to be hostage to government-owned school districts and have choice in education, he's going to go out there and campaign against you. What do you mean? Why is he doing this? What do you think? And she says, it's all about him wanting to be president. I'm sorry, the school choice thing is about Texas, and it's something we've pushed for. And if you're really a Republican, Betty, you're really in a minority because 80-something% of Republicans on the last plebiscite, the whole vote of the entire Republican Party in Texas supported this on the primary. Another guy said Case isn't qualified to be on the ballot. Mike Dickey said she didn't register to vote out here till December, and she decided that leads us to contend she hadn't met the one-year requirement. Well, Mike, you're just ignorant. You have no clue what you're talking about. Registering to vote is not under the law what is required. It simply has nothing to do with it. You know, I have two homes, and if I chose to register in one for a little while and then go back, that doesn't mean I didn't live in Lubbock and do my politics here, pay my taxes. It's not. It's about residing in the district. She's been residing in the district for some time. Fine. I mean, you can bring it up. It's a legitimate point there, Dickie, to bring up, but not to say it like that and stupid things, you know, where you're just ignorant. I mean, you just don't know. You don't know how it's done, what the law is, and how it works. You got just to the northeast of you. You got the big Senate race with Hagenboo. He doesn't live in the district at all. He doesn't even live in the district. And yet the governor and the lieutenant governor and all the money men are endorsing Hagenboo, the disastrous former Denton County Republican chairman for one of the most important seats in Texas, and that's a state Senate seat. And he's openly moved his registration just in time. You're supposed to live in the district for a year. He's being sued. He will have a trial on that. He doesn't even live in it, doesn't even pretend he lives in it. He went and moved his registration to his trucking company's office in the district. You just don't know what don't say it like that. If you don't know what you're talking about, you might want to demur just a little bit or simplify your comments. course, I think it's great when people say, well, she doesn't live here. What does she know about Abilene? Well, she's been there a long time. They own a ranch. They pay all the taxes you pay in the district. They're, you know, hey, you downtown Lambert crowd, you civic cheerleaders, how's that for economic development? Tell anybody in any company and business that moves there that they're not going to count and their opinion doesn't matter and their vote's not welcome and they don't have a say even though they pay all the taxes and stuff because they hadn't been there forever. Do you know how stupid you all sound? Oh, well. We've got a big story out of the race. Another school district caught. Got images of all the emails and things. It was reported by the Current Revolt today by Tommy Oliver. And they even go into a state board of education race telling teachers how to vote in this thing. I will give you that story in a moment. And also, another big story I've got is that the Texas gun dealers lawsuit against the bump stock ban that Trump put forward through his ATF is wrong. This is a legal matter that matters far beyond anything to do with bump stocks. And I want to share all this with you, and we'll do that in the next segment.
Fred on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Your Edward Jones financial advisor, Mark Miller, can help you build a strategy to help your finances keep up with your needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Stop by Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers. Have you ever thought about building something out of a shipping container? Here at Campbell Containers, we stock 20 and 40 foot containers. Stop by our yard on I-20 just east of Abilene at exit 297 and check out our supply. Each sale box has a little orange price tag on the door. You can also visit our website at campbellcontainers.com or give me a call, 325-518-3309.
The Lubbock Sportsman's Club is a leading promoter of wildlife conservation, outdoor education, and hunter advocacy across West Texas. If you want to help Lubbock Sportsman's Club achieve its mission to conserve wildlife and wilderness lands, to educate youth and the general public, and to promote and protect the rights and interests of hunters in the West Texas area and worldwide, you're invited to take part by simply coming to the club's meetings. Learn more about the great work done for conservation and hunting at lubbocksportsman.com and listen here for chapter meeting announcements.
Listening to Brett should be required for all politicians and students. Remember, the learning never stops. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Electioneering conspiracy by ISD and SBOE race. Story at Current Revolt. They got a tip. They've looked into all this. It involves a Republican primary in Castleberry ISD employees. It is against the law. School districts may not use public resources to advocate for or against particular political candidates and or groups of political candidates. But the school people don't care anymore. And that's one of the reasons that we have just got to blow up this government monopoly in all-powerful nature, because they're just so arrogant they don't care. They've got an email out. It was from Superintendent Renee Smith Faulkner, and instructs district leaders to vote according to a voter guide from the Castleberry ISD Retired Teachers Association. And principals and teachers, all kinds of people got this in their inbox through the, you know, from their boss, through the school district resources and their email system, claiming it's their main responsibility to vote, and they're going to vote in the primaries and vote accordingly. In other words, she says, you're going to vote accordingly, meaning to this list she's provided. And it's an us versus them model, with all the us being the recommended candidates and them being what they call Abbott or Paxton challengers, the big government education lobby people. It's not just Paxton and Abbott made to be the bogeyman, though. There's a first and foremost, it's Brandon, not President Brandon, but Brandon Hall, the Republican challenger for State Board of Education, the seat that covers Castleberry ISD. They're using school resources to vote saying, remember to vote for Pat Hardy. Make sure Brandon is sent away. That's not subtle. That's pure electioneering. He's got a whole school district working against him there. Oh, well, it's they right here. Just because you're against Abbott's school choice deal doesn't mean it's okay to use skill resources and your authority to electioneer Brandon's demise. Well, it goes on all over, and that's what is so disgusting, that and bond issues and everything. There's just such a massive arrogance out of this current model, this socialist model for providing educational opportunities to our people. It's just something drastic has got to be done. Plus, they fail. I mean, the scores are awful. We continue to fall behind the rest of the world, even though we spend more money than all the rest of the world per student. Yes, even in Texas, we spend more money than a lot of high-achieving countries do. Now, A.W.R. Hawkins at Breitbart summed up this big case at the Supreme Court today this way. A Central Texas gunworks owner, Michael Cargill's lawsuit against the BATF&E bump stock ban went to the Supreme Court today. In November 23, Cargill told Breitbart his goal was to stop federal agencies from being weaponized against the American people. He said the federal government, they initially started out with just the bump stock. They focused on this little part, this little piece here. And he's right in this, folks. But since then, it's grown to other things. Federal agencies are using the exact same verbiage, the same language, the exact rule they used to ban the bump stock to go after everything else. Now they're going after AR-15 stabilizer braces, going after triggers, after 80% frames and receivers, all using the same words and language they used against bump stocks. This is why Trump should be pilloried on this issue, because he was for this, and this is the veer. You've got to be careful what you're doing. The language is that by which the ATF redefines or recategorizes pre-existing guns, parts, or accessories. You know, calling things like bump stocks, machine guns, and things. They're using the same language to go after all of our weapons in an administrative capacity. And the issue is, wait a minute, that's Congress's job. They haven't delegated that to the ATF. So Cargill versus Garland was heard in the Supreme Court today. The great Charles C.W. Cook, writing at National Review today, like me pulling his hair out because you just have to keep saying the same things. The bump stock case isn't about bump stocks, it's about the law. And he says, here's how CNN reported on the oral arguments today. Several conservative Supreme Court justices indicated Wednesday they are concerned with the federal ban on bump stocks, a device that allows semi-automatic weapons to fire more like a machine gun. Justice Kavanaugh said he was worried about Americans being prosecuted under a ban they're not aware of. And Amy Coney Barrett said, well, she was intuitively concerned about the bump stock devices. She questioned why the issue wouldn't be better handled by Congress. That was a theme that the justices returned to repeatedly, underscoring a push by the court's conservatives to limit the power of federal agencies in recent years. Isn't it funny I insert here that the left always talks about in these leftist media outlets about democracy, but they're the ones that are absolutely opposed to stopping the idea that unelected, non-democratic agencies make all the laws and rules for our lives and that these things need to be pushed back into the hands of our elected people in Congress. Notice that's their position. What frauds they are. So Cook writes, after putting the little CNN bit up there, "Forgive me for being a broken record on this topic, but this framing drives me as crazy as this in this instance as it does everywhere else. The question in this case is statutory. That, quote, the justices returned to that question repeatedly is not some curious foible of this particular conservative majority, but the inevitable reflection of the task the justices have been asked to perform. What we have here is a dispute between a federal agency, the ATF, which says it is legally permitted to ban bump stocks, and a plaintiff, Texas gun shop owner, who insists that the ATF is wrong. The role of the Supreme Court is not to decide in some abstract sense whether the federal bureaucracy is too big or too small, or as CNN implies, to limit the power of federal agencies per se, but to adjudicate whether in this particular area the federal government has been granted the power it claims. If, as the plaintiffs insist, the ATF's behavior is not warranted by the law that Congress already passed, then it's not merely the case that the issue would be better handled by Congress. It is the case that the issue must be handled by Congress, because Congress has not yet handled it. If the plaintiffs are wrong, then they are wrong because the issue was already handled by Congress, not because it is unnecessary for Congress to act. On this, Article 1 is extremely clear. At stake here is whether the Trump administration's 2018 redefinition of the term machine gun is compatible with the terms of the 1934 National Firearms Act. As such, most of today's discussion was highly technical, with the vast majority of the back and forth revolving around the meaning and application of one term from that statute, quote, single function of the trigger, end quote, which, by the way, bump stocks aren't a machine gun if you read that literally. The government claims that the NFA's definition of machine gun can be used to cover bump stocks because bump stocks have the effect of making semi-automatic firearms more like automatic firearms. The plaintiffs, along with both the Fifth Circuit and the Sixth Circuit, which both found in their favor, say that this is untrue per se, and that even if the law were to be deemed ambiguous, the rule of lenity would require ruling in their favor, the plaintiff's favor. While other topics came up from time to time, the debate kept returning to the text, not because Amy Coney Barrett or the conservatives, quote-unquote, have some secret agenda, because this is a textual case. It's about the text of the law. But, of course, the liberals and the media are so stupid, folks, they don't want you to know this stuff, but I'm convinced now they're not all just plotters for the left. They are ignorant as hell. They don't know or understand this stuff. Cook says ultimately the outcome will be determined by how textualist the court wishes to be. As is her wont, Elena Kagan kept asking the plaintiff's attorney, Jonathan Mitchell, hey, our good friend, what Congress had been trying to achieve with this law, and was, as was his duty, Mitchell kept replying that what mattered more was what Congress actually wrote down. But you see, the left doesn't believe that. They want to be able to take your liberty at any moment, at any time, for whatever fad of the moment, rule by the mob, the emotion, and never be kept to the actual law that is written down. And that's a real problem. The statute does say one movement of the trigger or whatever, and the bump stock actually just simply simulates you pulling the trigger multiple times. So the plaintiffs, that's why they wanted the Fifth and the Sixth Circuit courts. We'll see how it turns out when they give their ruling later this year. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.